Jesus came to destroy the power of the devil. It's no wonder Satan doesn't want us to see the glory of Christ. I'm Brian Patrick. We're beginning a new series on the shocking claims of Jesus. Repent and believe, this time on Crossing the Goal. We are kicking off our show on Repent and Believe, and you remember the Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, the All-Pro, former wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. And Peter, we're beginning a new series here that's really going to look at the shocking claims of Jesus.
Yes, I'm excited. It's great to be back, by the way, you guys. Good to see you all again. Danny, are you looking chipper as ever?
Yeah,
good to see you.
Right.
Yeah, God bless you. No, this is a series I think all four of us are very passionate about. We're living through a time where a kind of dark miracle has happened, if you want to put it that way. The modern culture, inspired by the devil, has managed to reduce history's most incredible, amazing, beautiful, powerful figure, Jesus Christ, to empty the figure of Jesus Christ and reduce him to a level so he fits into the comforts of modern culture. We've reduced the king of the universe into a kind of a combination between Mr. Rogers, Barney, and the Dalai Lama somehow, you know, to kind of mix them all together. To know Jesus is to be shocked. Jesus disrupts our life. Jesus is the king of the universe. I remember C.S. Lewis said at one point, the three things that Jesus provoked in the lives of people who actually met him in the scripture were hatred, terror, and worship. You can't know Jesus Christ and think he's the kind of Jesus that people talk about today. What we want to talk about this week in this show, in this series, is we want to let Jesus speak for himself so all of us can lay hold of the real Jesus.
And Coach, we're starting with repent and believe this time.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about, repent and believe. One, if we're really serious about changing our lives, we need to repent of our sinfulness. Yeah. Secondly, is we need to get into His Word in Scriptures. And a lot of us, the Scripture that we listen to is ABC, NBC, and CBS. Mm-hmm. No, I want to get my walking orders from Jesus Christ.
No, we got to recognize that Jesus Christ looks at us and looks at the world radically different than we do.
Right.
And if we look at the world differently than He does, well, then we're wrong, and we need to be corrected so that we can see things accurately. And the first thing that we talk about is His view of us and our response to Him. And He's saying, now's the time. We live in a world that keeps saying, oh, we got all the time in the world. No, time is a precious commodity. Right. We need to respond right now.
So we're really going to look inside ourselves and be willing to make changes. And for that, we need a game plan. Peter and Curtis have it next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin, and I'm here with Peter Herbeck. Now, Peter, in this series, we're going to look at a series of statements that Jesus makes that will surprise us. Yeah. We've kind of tamed Jesus down, as you mentioned, and we have to recognize, let's go back to the Scriptures and hear what He said. The first statement we want to look at flows from Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Yeah. Jesus says this at the beginning of His public ministry.
Yeah.
The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So we're walking through several points in there. The first part is the kingdom of God. When Jesus talks about this, Peter, what is He talking about?
It's great because Jesus is declaring right from the get-go why He came.
Yeah.
He said, I came to establish a kingdom, a reign, authority, my Father's kingdom. And He's come to a world, we see behind Jesus' words, His understanding of the condition of the world. The world is under the domination of a different kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the world, the flesh, the devil. Jesus said, look, the time has come, the Father's decided, and I'm here because I'm going to break the hold of that kingdom, and I'm going to establish my Father's order, and I'm going to give the human race an opportunity to come under our rule, to move out of the reign of sin and death and the domination of the devil. And as Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, I'm here to transfer people from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom, my own kingdom, the kingdom of the beloved Son.
And we live in a world that is at war with God and with his kingdom. And its primary tactic is to say, oh, no, there's no war.
Yeah.
We were born into enemy territory, if you will. And if we've been baptized, we've been reborn into the God's kingdom. And the world around us saying, no, it's not a fight. I think of the J.R. Tolkien's statement in the movies where you've got the hobbits in their plane in the middle of a war, and they don't even know there's a war going on. And yet the fact of the matter there is, and we've been called into battle.
Yeah.
And the first step there is to not only acknowledge that, but then to repent.
Right.
And to recognize that we have been called to literally turn 180 degrees. We're walking our own self-styled life, and Jesus turns to us. One of the examples is in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say?
Yeah.
I am calling you to embrace me, to allow everything in your life to respond to this radical encounter with me and change everything and move in a totally different direction.
Yeah, it's important to see Jesus has a clear diagnosis of our situation. Every single human being is under the dominion of darkness and under sin. He said, I'm coming to call you out of that. So now when I call you, when I say repent, the direction you're moving in, the things you value, the things you put first, I want you to turn now and put God first. I want you to put the king first. And he said, I'm the proof of the kingdom is right here in your presence. And so he's calling us to make that turn with our lives and accept the diagnosis of the condition of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, so much of our life really is kind of defined by an addiction or an attachment to lesser loves.
Yeah.
There are things in the world that are beautiful, they're amazing, but this world is broken and it was never meant to be loved first and foremost.
Yeah.
God was meant to be loved first and foremost, and we've allowed ourselves to betray him and have lesser loves. And the call to repentance is to say, no, I now renounce these loves as a primary part of my life. I turn to you, Lord. You are the center of my life. I repent of all of these lesser loves and embrace you with all of my heart, which then allows me to believe the gospel.
Yeah, and I acknowledge that rule. I acknowledge your kingship. I acknowledge that God is king, that I've been made for God, and I'm meant to live for God. And so the turn is to say yes to Jesus Christ. What is faith? The Holy Father, Pope John Paul II said in Redemptoris Missio, he said the faith that follows on that turn, which is conversion, he said, is from the outset total and radical. It's a total and radical abandonment of my heart, mind, and will in trust to a person, a surrender to what he says, what he teaches, but also a giving of my heart to him, becoming loyal and following him and having him first in my life.
Yeah, it's not a grayscale response where we move from, well, Jesus was 25% of my life and now he's 35% of my life. No, this is an all or nothing proposition. I take everything that I loved and I put it on the side and say, I love you only, and I only come to love other things, other people, in light of my love for you. You're the center of my life. I have embraced who you are. You're the kingdom. Your kingdom is the center of my life, and everything makes sense in light of that relationship with him.
Yeah, and the faith that he wants to give us, it's a grace. It's a gift. It's a gift to be able to see that he is the Lord of all. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth, Scripture says. And Jesus literally came, became one of us, shed his blood on a cross, and destroyed the power of the devil and the kingdoms of the earth that had laid hold of us and made it possible for him to reign in our lives. And it's the only road to salvation. Salvation is to come into the kingdom. And the church exists to call everybody into the kingdom and bring them in contact with the king who alone can do the deed that needs to be done to break us from that habit pattern of sin to be brought into the kingdom of the beloved son.
And now is the time to make that radical response to Christ. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Great game plan. Coach, it looks like the only thing we really have to change is everything.
Yeah, and stay with us, gang, because you're going to hear about four changes that happened to us guys personally. So
big
stick
changes.
With us.
Yeah,
stick with us.
We're in the red zone. Next. We've reached the red zone here on Crossing the Goal, talking about the shocking claims of Jesus. Repent and believe in this segment. And Coach, are we really hearing what Jesus is saying?
Well, I hope we are. You know, up there I talked about two things, about repenting and then in his word. And if I look back at my life, is that that there was a time that I repented. It came that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I said, I need to change my life. And then I opened myself up and noticed my sinfulness and repented, and then went to confession. That's what's so great about the Catholic Church. We can go. That freed me up. Then I had to know Jesus Christ personally. I knew about Jesus Christ, but did I know him personally? See, in order to change our life radically, like he's asking us to, we have to know him personally. How do we know him personally? In his word, in his gospel, like you guys shared in the game plan. We have to know them, and then other brothers will help us get to know him also.
And it's a choice we make now. We're going to make. Everybody is eventually going to bend their knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is King and Lord. That's what Scripture says. Every knee will bend and every tongue confess. The Father's plan is to establish his Son Jesus, to restore the order and bring the order of the Father's kingdom, and we're being called to enter into that. So with our time, our money, our talent, our treasure, our sex life, our dreams,
everything.
Jesus is saying, yeah. Bring it under my rule and my lordship. I did an interview not long ago on a radio, and a really wonderful Catholic guy named Bob was talking about how, you know, he made some initial decisions like that in his life, but down the road, there were some things he was hanging on to that the Lord still wanted brought under his reign, you know. And he was a married guy, very active in his parish, had 5 kids, and he sensed the Lord saying to him at a certain point, are you ready to give it all? And he's thinking, I have given it all. You know, I am giving it all. And then it bothered him for a number of months. And one night he said, was going to bed early, told his wife, and he grabbed his Bible. And he said, I was sitting in my room and I was just praying, laying in bed. And I started to experience the love of God really deep in my heart. And I just in a way I hadn't in a long time, maybe hardly at any point in my life. And right in the middle of it, I sensed the Lord saying to me, are you ready now? He said, what do you mean, Lord? He goes, I want you to stop contracepting. It kind of hit him like this. And what he ended up saying was, the story he told very clearly was that he said, look, I'm an engineer. I count the numbers at the end of the month. I already had 5 kids. We did the math. And I said, look, we simply can't afford to have any more kids. So it was just logical to make that decision, he said. But the Lord came after it. He said, and I had the grace. I yielded to the Lord. I obeyed the Lord. We had 2 more kids. And in tears, he said to me on the radio show, he said, my calculus missed all of God's beauty and his plan for me, the 2 children I have and the grandchildren. I can't conceive of life without them. My calculus is wrong. Jesus is right. You
exactly.
Know? So that's the kind of thing the Lord really wants us to be able to do, come under his lordship to receive his freedom and his life.
No, it's important, to, as you mentioned, Danny, to know him personally so that you can have that type of prayer experience that your friend Bob had.
Yeah.
And we need to do that. But as we encounter Christ, he tells us things that are absolutely shocking. He's like blocking the way and saying, this way will not lead to life. You need to go in a different direction. You're walking down a hallway and all of a sudden he's saying, no, another direction. And to be able to hear him clearly, this is one of those statements where he's saying, now is the time. Yeah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Everything has to change. And for me, I know that happened my sophomore year in college, and it's happened several times since then. And to be open to those radical encounters where you yeah. meet Christ so violently that all of your hopes and dreams are actually have to be left on the altar as a sacrifice yeah. so you can embrace his hopes and dreams for your yeah. life.
And it almost takes desperation for some of us. You know,
exactly. yeah.
for me to change, I had to just hit a rock bottom. I was lowering the bar. Every time I said, I won't do that. If I ever yeah. do that, I'll change. But I just, you know, you play limbo where you got, you
sure,
know,
sure.
they keep lowering the bar, and pretty soon yeah. there's no place to go. And that's when we go to the Lord. That's when the change really no, happens.
Absolutely, Brian, you're right on target. And it's, you know, that was that one experience you had. But it's an ongoing thing,
right.
see, because
yeah.
the devil's going to come back. The lies are out here in the world. He says, you don't deserve this. Who do you think you are, Danny or Brian? Yeah. You know, you claim to be all this. You're nothing but a phony. He'll use all these tactics. So what I'm trying to drive at here, it's an ongoing thing. You have a conversion experience. You get to know Jesus more intimately, more personally. You start growing through his word, through fellowship, through other people. It's an ongoing thing. And then you really start experiencing God's love in your life like Bob did.
Yeah, and a key to that is to hang around with like men
yes.
so that when we are falling back into old ways, we can remind each other, you know, and it's like, oh, I need to work on it again.
And don't get too high on yourself, you know, like I got it made. You know, we're sinners.
Yeah.
And we by any stretch of the imagination, I know I don't have it made no kind of way. I mean, I got to watch on a daily basis what I do and how I act and my behavior.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I know for me, when I thought about this years ago before I really had encountered Christ, I thought, well, what's key in life is that I'm thoughtful, that I really think things through, and that I'm trying to be a good person. But I think your story of Bob shows us that that's actually not enough.
Yeah.
In my own mind, I'm capable of deceiving myself, that I'm doing enough. I look around and say, well, I'm not as bad as some of the guys I'm hanging around with, or whatever that might be, and actually, all that changes when we're confronted with Jesus face to face in our mind's eye as we're praying and we encounter him in our imagination, and there he is, and he's telling us something maybe directly from Scripture that shocks us, and sit back and say, I would never have said that.
Yeah.
And realize his truth is actually the truth, and my truth is filled with error because I just can't see things accurately. He sees everything accurately. Yeah.
And I think the story about Bob is he said, look, I just came to the point, I said, you know, it was just obvious to me what I thought I needed to do. My own reason, and I relied on my own understanding, which is the challenge for us, is to often rely on our own understanding. I just don't have enough money this month or next month to make the donations or the tithes that the Lord wants me to make. And, well, he doesn't want me to sacrifice that much, I don't think, right? And I'll do it down the road further, maybe we'll work it out. And there's all this stuff that goes on in our minds and we rationalize all the time. And Jesus wants us to learn to say, no, the truth is you will thrive, son, under my rule and my lordship. That's the only road to happiness. Now look at your heart again. Your heart's doubting it. It doesn't believe it. You're scared. You're relying on your own understanding. Peter, the only safe place for you and your wife and your kids is to be in my plan and under my rule. So I stumbled again. He helps me back up and said, dust me off and said, keep coming. And
so. And the power of the relationship between the Scriptures and the church's teaching authority there. Because, you know, we all agree what the Bible says. We can read that the words are all there and we can agree. But what does it mean?
Yeah,
and as we're reading it, we interpret in light of our own experiences.
Yeah.
This is where the teachings of the Catholic Church are so helpful because it gives us the clarity to say, no, this is the accurate interpretation.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, I laugh when you guys talk there because we do like to say, okay, Lord, I'll give you this and this. This I'll sort of keep this here.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
You have this one. Yeah. If I get in trouble, I'll call for your help there. But I think I can handle this. I don't need you. No.
Yeah.
He's saying, like you've mentioned many times here,
the poker game.
That's what I'm thinking.
We're throwing a few chips.
Exactly.
He says, I want the whole
stack. Because I try to
stack.
Play that game. Yeah. I'll just... I'm okay in here. I think I'm okay in this one.
Isn't it amazing that as long as we follow the Lord, how often we get tempted to pull some of those stacks back a little bit? You know what I mean?
Or like we're hiding.
No, my own happiness or my own freedom. Maybe it is better off in my hands. And that's where the devil tempts us. And it's very easy to fall back into that. And I think, as you were saying, Brian, that's where we need each other's help. Say, come on, Herbeck, wake up. You've been down that road before. Don't fall for that one again. You know, and to be able to stand together, to be able to resist the temptation of the devil.
For me, a huge change was just rather than trying to just hit the targets of the question, was, Lord, where would I no longer displease you? But rather than seeing how far away from the bullseye I could be, just say, Lord, just tell me exactly what you want me to do. I may fail in striving to get there, but I'm going to attempt to do that, and I'm going to rely on your grace to get me there.
That's good.
But I'm going to aim for exactly what you want rather than
getting
it all fuzzy. Because once I get a little fuzzy, I found myself, I'm out in the deep grass.
Yeah, that's right.
and the truth is, guys, we can't do it on our own. You know, in our next segment, we're going to talk about be perfect. We can't do that, but we have a little saying, I can't, you can, I think I'll let you. It's just that simple. It's God's grace that gets us where we need to be.
And Brian, I think what we need to do is just take that first step.
Yep.
Recognize our sinfulness and ask for God's help.
Absolutely. And we'll get the last word on repent and believe from the end zone next and get into our email bag. We hope you'll stay with us here on Crossing the Goal. We're now in the end zone on Crossing the Goal on Repent and Believe. And before these guys get the last words on our subject, we're going to go to the email bag. But we want to remind you that if you're watching the show and there's something you want to comment about or just anything you want to ask about, would you email us at crossingthegoal.com and you might hear your email read right here on Crossing the Goal. All right, this is from Brian, not this Brian, but Brian says he's a baseball coach, a good one,
And just the other day, he says, I asked myself if I was going to get my spiritual life in better shape, how would I, as a baseball coach, do it? Then he said, I found your show. It's about time men start looking at their spiritual life in the same way as we look at sports. That was your concept when you started Crossing the Goal, Coach.
Well, that's it. I think that as a coach, you start with the basic fundamentals. I think that you right in changing, you want to change your life and get in shape spiritually also. I think you're doing the right thing, first of all, by watching Crossing the Goal. Secondly, I recommend the book I came out with, Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. It goes through the basic fundamentals of your faith, like prayer, the sacraments, lifting up others. So I think you'll get a lot out of that, Coach.
Okay, you guys want to recommend any of your books since Coach did?
Anything that Peter Herbeck did is just right all over that.
Seriously, if we do look at our spiritual lives in terms of, you know, exercising and being disciplined, I think we're going to grow much faster. So as we kick off our series on the shocking claims of Jesus, this first episode, Repent and Believe. Peter, what's your last word on this subject?
Thanks, Brian. The whole of the Christian life is a journey of faith and a journey of ongoing repentance as well. But it's very important at some time in our life for us to be able to receive into our heart Jesus' self-understanding of who he is in the situation we're in. Jesus literally is a king of a kingdom that will last forever. And that king wants to bring everything in our lives under his rule. It's a great reflection, brothers, as you sit and think, is there any area of my life that has not yet come under the rule of Jesus that he may want from me? That's a great way to follow him as he exercises his kingship and lordship over our lives.
Great point. You know, we've spent a lot of time in our life amassing successes in business and in various awards and recognitions, and they're all good, but I look at St. Paul, who in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, really turns to us and says, I'm actually a great man. I've accomplished amazing things, but when I encounter the person of Jesus Christ, I count it all as rubbish. He actually says dung. It's all worthless to me now in light of Christ. And Jesus wants to have that kind of profound encounter with you where everything else in your life actually pales in comparison by the reality of coming to know him and to follow him and all that he has for us in our lives.
Good job, Curtis. Man, we talked about repentance starting off this show, and that's what we want you to do. Repent. I'm sorry, Lord, for this. Please help me. But we also got to know him personally. And we talked about to get to know him personally, you have to get into his word. And the best way to do that is in the Gospels. And I recommend Sunday before you go to Mass, always get into the readings. Do the readings before you get to Mass, and then you'll hear him again at Mass. You're going to get to know Jesus more personally, and it's going to change and transform your life.
Coach and Curtis and Peter, thanks a lot. You can look as good as Coach in a cap just like that. You can check it out at crossingthegoal.com, where you can find resources for your small group. A lot of men are using Crossing the Goal resources. They're all for you at crossingthegoal.com. We'll continue our series next time with Be Perfect. We hope you'll join us then for another edition of Crossing the Goal.